Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Acts, the 6th chapter. Let us listen to God's word. Now, during those days, when the disciples were increasing in number, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews because their widows were being neglected in the daily distribution of food. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicolaus, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The number of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This fall, our theme for worship and stewardship is Neighbors Together, Forward in Faith. We chose this theme because it ties together our major emphases and projects from the last 3 years. This year, we have been focusing on life in the neighborhood. What does it mean to be neighbors to each other as a church in our larger community of Yorktown in northern Westchester and with the whole world? And even more to the point, what does it mean to be neighbors in God's neighborhood? And to create God's neighborhood here and wherever we are. Throughout this year, we have been focusing on what kind of neighbors God calls us to be, and what God's neighborhood looks like. We started with the prophet Micah, who reminded us that being a good neighbor requires us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God. During the season of Lent and throughout the spring, as the pandemic spread and required more and more major changes in our lives, we took our pulse regularly and focused on worship as the heartbeat of our faith and life together as a church. Worship is where we are grounded in our identity as God's children, Jesus' brothers and sisters, and neighbors to this world God loves. Then we spent the summer with the Ten Commandments, not simply as an annoying list of do's and don'ts, but as God's words of love for life in the neighborhood. We learned that the Ten Commandments are not just intended to keep individuals in line, but to build healthy communities that live God's values in the world, values like faithfulness, honesty, and integrity, compassion and generosity, justice and peace. In addition, this is the 3rd year of our capital campaign, Grounded in Gratitude, Forward in Faith. You may remember that 3 years ago, after many conversations with you all and much prayerful discernment, we identified 6 ministry priorities: compelling worship, lifelong faith formation, intentional fellowship, inspirational stewardship, and transformational mission, all of which fall under the umbrella of radical hospitality. And then we talked and thought and planned for what we need to do to live into these priorities more faithfully. Thanks to your generosity, we have been able to undertake and even complete some major projects around our facility that will allow us to be better stewards of this place and this earth, and better neighbors through our ministry and mission in the community. You'll hear more about this later in the service. Now we are in year 3 of the capital campaign, and although some of our work has been delayed due to the pandemic, we are still making good progress forward into the future. Now there are some who would look around at what is going on in the world today and conclude that now is not the time to be building new ministries and moving forward in faith. There's the pandemic, of course, and all of the upheaval and uncertainty that has come along with it. People are losing jobs faster than they can find them. And certain industries and many businesses are facing steep challenges, if not closure and bankruptcy. We are living in a highly polarized political environment and through a divisive election season that is calling into question the very nature of our democracy and even the most basic assumptions about what we can trust to be true and morally right. We continue to struggle with the consequences of our nation's history of racism and the inequities built into our very structures and institutions. And while we were already living in a time of rapid change, the pandemic has served to highlight and accelerate many of the trends and challenges we face today. In the midst of all this uncertainty, upheaval, and anxiety, wouldn't it just be better to hunker down and hold on to what we've got? Where do we turn for guidance and perspective? How does our faith influence our perspective and planning for the future? A wise person once said that everything you ever need to know about human history or human nature can be found in Shakespeare and the Bible. Of course, I'm partial to the Bible and think it's even more comprehensive and instructive than Shakespeare. And as many of you know who have been in one of our Bible studies, after reading some of the Bible, you realize pretty quickly that there really is nothing new under the sun, that we human beings have been living through the same challenges and making the same mistakes for centuries, that although we may feel like we're living in unprecedented times, people have been through all this before. Which is why Chip and I turn to the book of Acts for our theme this fall. The book of Acts was written by the same person who wrote the Gospel of Luke, and it chronicles the earliest days of the church, the community of disciples and believers who gathered together after Jesus was resurrected and who were filled with the Holy Spirit to go out and share the good news of God's love, grace, and new life in Jesus Christ with the whole world. Acts seems like a good place to go in a time like this, because that faith community was also living in the midst of uncertainty and change, facing both external pressures and internal anxieties, and trying to figure out how to be the body of Christ in a topsy-turvy world. Last week, we saw how the early church responded to external forces that tried to muffle their message and limit their mission. It would have been so easy for Peter and John and the rest of the believers to put their work on hold, to cower in fear before the religious and political forces that challenged them. Instead, they prayed for courage to press on, to move forward in faith, to keep proclaiming the gospel with boldness, sharing the good news with neighbors near and far, to keep building God's neighborhood in the world. This week, we watch the early church in action as it organizes itself in response to changing circumstances and builds the kind of community and neighborhood that God calls them to. Up to this point, the church has been growing in leaps and bounds. It's barely a few weeks old, but every day Peter and John and the other apostles go to the temple to preach and teach and heal. The people there liked what they saw and heard and experienced, a message of new life and second chances for everyone, a message of generous love and gracious hospitality, a message of healing in the midst of sickness in the body, mind, and spirit, a message of hope rising out of despair. So they kept coming back for more and joining the community. It's important to understand here that these first Christians didn't call themselves Christians. They didn't think they were starting a new religion. They were just Jews who believed that Jesus was the Messiah. At this point, all of the believers were Jewish. The mission to the Gentiles had not yet begun. In fact, for the first 40 years or so, the Roman Empire and the Gentile world viewed Christians as a Jewish subgroup or sect. So the earliest apostles and disciples in our story today believed that they were holding on to the foundations and traditions of Judaism, while at the same time reforming it and creating something new within it. But whenever that many people start trying to create community together, you know that there's going to be friction. Sure enough, a group of new converts comes to the leadership with a complaint. Their widows aren't receiving what they need in the daily distribution of food. This might sound rather strange to us, but remember last week we heard how the early church, despite how new they were, had a very successful stewardship campaign going on. Everyone understood that everything they owned belonged to God first, and so they shared everything they had with the whole community. Luke tells us no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as they had need. Unfortunately, the church was growing so fast that the leadership was having a hard time keeping up with their administrative duties on top of their missional ones. How do you keep proclaiming good news to new folks while making sure that the faith community is functioning like God's neighborhood is supposed to? Add to that the challenge of ministering to all these different people who had joined the community from a lot of different places. Here we have the Hellenists, who were most likely Greek-speaking Jews from other corners of the empire, complaining that the Hebrews, the local Palestinian Jews, weren't treating their widows fairly. So what did the church leadership do? Did they turn it into an us versus them situation? Did they throw up their hands and say they didn't have enough people to help or enough money in the budget to cover it? Did they send it to a committee to study? Did they say, this is the way we've always done it, and if you don't like it, go start your own community? No, of course not. They called a big congregational meeting, and they put out the problem right out there for everyone to see and hear. Then they created a whole new ministry structure that would enable everyone's needs to be met while the mission could still move ahead. The congregation chose a new group of leaders that would make sure that life in God's neighborhood was one in which everyone had what they needed to live and to thrive, even while other leaders were building an even bigger neighborhood through their preaching and outreach to the broader community. Through prayer and laying on of hands, the original apostles empowered others to help build God's neighborhood in their midst. Rather than cling to power or the way things were, they moved forward into the future, reorganizing and building something new, shepherding and stewarding the gifts and resources of the whole community, sharing their power and their leadership just as generously as they shared the gospel. Margaret Wheatley is a world-renowned writer and management consultant who specializes in organizational behavior and change. She often tells organizations that the future is among us, waiting to be seen. That was certainly true for the early church, the widows in need, the seven people with gifts for serving, the potential for new leadership and ministry. It was all right there, just waiting for the church and the leadership to see it and to move forward into it. No matter how uncertain our lives or how topsy-turvy and troubling the world is around us, the same is true for us. The future is among us, waiting to be seen. We caught a glimpse of the future 3 years ago, and so we identified our 6 ministry priorities and moved forward in faith with our capital campaign. It has come into even sharper focus for us this year as we have envisioned life in God's neighborhood together. The future will continue to emerge in our midst as we follow the Spirit's leading and carry out the ministry that God has called us and gifted us to do. Capital campaign or not, the church is always building for ministry and mission. Because in addition to houses and streets, shops and schools, God's neighborhood is built through words and actions, relationships and ministry teams, through addressing the mental health needs within our church family and the wider community, through phone calls and handwritten notes and visits to the sick and the lonely, through planting and weeding around our church or at the Garden of Hope, through feeding hungry people at Pantry or Jan Peak or Midnight Run, through your generous contributions to the Silent Samaritan Fund, which allows us to help our folks going through tough financial times, through offering welcome and hope to hurting people and a worried world. Although we might be tempted in these uncertain times to just batten down the hatches and ride out the storm, to wring our hands and wait for things to return to some semblance of normal, the spirit of new life calls us to set our fears and anxieties aside and to ask ourselves the question that Chip posed last week. What is a gracious God up to in this unique time? And how can we hitch onto it? Where is God's future emerging in our midst, and how will we respond? How can we press on, moving forward in faith and continuing to build God's neighborhood, right here and now, in Yorktown and around the world? May we respond with the same faith and enthusiasm as those early Christians so long ago, giving generously of our time and talents and resources, so that all those in our neighborhood have what they need to live and thrive, and we can keep on proclaiming the living word of God's love and grace and new life in Jesus Christ. Amen.